This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Democrat Party is insane, and I'm not sure if it can be fixed. We'll talk about that tonight. Auren McIntyre is here. Peter Schweizer on just how much of our country has been sold out to China. All that, changes at the CDC, and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so we need to get something out of the way first before we dig into the violence in this country, the Democrat Party, the insanity, and all these other things. But it hurts to say what I'm about to say, but it's true. We need a Democrat Party, meaning we need a reformed Democrat Party. We need an opposition party of some kind that is sane, still loves America, all these things. We need one, and we don't have one. It is difficult for me to see how the United States of America can hold together long-term as long as the Democrat Party remains the anti-American party. It's just very difficult to figure out how we could make that work when you share a country with 30%, 40%, pick your number, of people who want to burn it down. It doesn't work. I've used the analogy so many times before on the show, but if my wife wants to burn the house down and I don't want the house to burn down, I'm probably fighting a losing battle. I may stop her once, stop her twice. Eventually, I got to go to work or use the bathroom and she's in the kitchen lighting the matches. It's very difficult. We have to have a reformed, sane Democrat Party. We have to have it. And it's not on the horizon right now. Democrats are facing a voter registration crisis. Even the New York Times is talking about it. They are at crisis levels as a party. Completely unpopular. And what that shows, when you're losing the voter registration war like that, what it shows is you've lost normal people, normies. Not you, not me. We're always in on this. But normal people think Democrats are weird, icky, mean, and they're leaving. They're leaving in droves. The party's broke. Completely broke. $15 million cash on hand. The RNC has $80 million cash on hand. They are so unpopular, they're considering convening a convention years early to try to get things sorted out, try to get things fixed. And I don't think that will help them. I mean, they just had a little mini meeting at the DNC, and keep in mind, I just want to stress this again, that you and I, we are the front line of winning elections. We are the activists. We're the ones who run for office. We donate. We matter. But it's not our votes that win elections. I already know who I'm voting for in 2028, and so do you. It's the normies. It's the norms. They win elections. They'll vote this way one year and this way one year. They're not necessarily political. But what do you think normal people think when they see this?
Is Lindy Somek, who is from the Saginaw Ojibwe Nation, and she's going to deliver our land acknowledgement today. Lindy?
Bonjour, Lindy Somek, Ninjitjinakaz, Amakdodam, Saginaw Chippewa Dojibwa, Anishinaabe Ndaw. Good morning, DNC members, friends, and relatives. Let's talk about the land for a second. The DNC acknowledges and honors the Dakota Oyate, the Dakota people, who are the original stewards of the lands and waters of Minneapolis. The Dakota cared for the lands, lakes, and the Wapatanka, the Great River, the Mississippi River, for thousands of years before colonization. This land was not claimed or traded. It's a part of a history of broken treaties and promises. And in many ways, we still live in a system built to suppress indigenous peoples' cultural and spiritual history.
Yeah, That's weird. It's not only just horrible and suicidal to have as a country, but it's weird. And they can't bring people in. In fact, now, probably even worse, the Democrat brand is pro-crime. And Democrats can whine about that all they want. They can point fingers about that all they want. But people, even normies, have eyes and they can tell Democrats are the pro-crime party. And as soon as they get a hold of a microphone and say things like this, it just confirms these beliefs.
Issues voters care about. Where does Trump go? Migrant crime, carjackings, the really lurid, awful stuff that is a crazy, crazy visual. Don't take the bait, because most Americans are more worried about how are we going to address mental health issues, the visible homelessness that we see on streets, and how do we deal with mental health and other issues that drive the sort of random incidents that scare all of us. That's what you should be talking about. That's where you should be focused. Don't take the bait in talking about migrant crime or carjackings or the things that actually don't matter to that many Americans. And then go to the...
Carjackings don't matter. Forget about that. Yeah, that's great. So that brings me to... Look, obviously we're not going to talk about that terrible shooting yesterday. It was awful. It's terrible. I don't want to bring you down. But I did want to point something out on what's happening and why the Democrat Party, as of right now, I do not believe can be fixed. And in fact, I believe things are going to get more violent and more dangerous. Here was Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey after all that.
Don't just say this is about thoughts and prayers right now. These kids were literally praying.
I think the impetus has to be on all of us as leaders to do a whole lot more, to recognize that we've got more guns in this country than we have people. I have heard about a whole lot of hate that's being directed at our trans community. Anybody who is using this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any other community out there has lost their sense of common humanity.
Why do they talk like that now? Why? Why did I tell you things like this were coming? And by the way, more things like this are coming. This was me. You remember this back on July 9th?
Right now, there is an escalation. An escalation that I have not seen in my lifetime. The rhetoric will and is increasing, and therefore the violence will and is increasing. This is now going to increase from here. Organized, planned street violence. And the animals who commit this kind of violence are going to move on from hard targets like BORTAC, and they're going to come to your church. They're going to come to your child's school. They're going to find soft targets where they can hurt the people they want to hurt. They're not going to accept failure forever. This is not to get you to hide or even be afraid or stay in your home. This is to let you know to keep your eyes open. Carry if you can, and be ready to protect yourself, because organized street communism in this country is going to increase from here.
Why did I know that? Well, I want you to listen to something else. One more thing here, and then we'll have a little talk. Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom's running for president. Obviously, this is not a breaking news. Everyone can tell Gavin Newsom's running for president. And so he's bouncing around doing every interview, every speech he possibly can. I mean, we got all that. That's stuff we already know. But why does he get on stage and say things like this?
Wake up. You or lose your country. Again, it's not about Democrats. Or it's about all of us.
So you're absolutely convinced he's...
I'm absolutely
convinced. 2028.
You've seen it. He's tried to steal the last election. He's trying to rig it in plain sight.
He's running again in 2028. Gavin Newsom has repeated this over and over and over again. Donald Trump's not leaving. He's running again in 2028. He's not leaving. I'm getting Trump hats. Ah! Well, why? What's going on there? So let me explain the disaster that is the Democrat Party and why they're in so much trouble. Democrats are communists. Sorry, they are. Just is the way it is. I don't care if that's offensive to you. They're communists. Communists are herd animals. They move as one. Whatever direction they're going to, they move as one. And because the Democrat in your life is a herd animal, They will say what they're told, do what they're told, think what they're told. They're a herd animal. They can be moved in any direction. So if it's beneficial to these elite communists to give them a symbol to worship, George Floyd, Dr. Fauci, they can do that. This is a hero. This is a hero. Memorial, memorial time. Look at this hero. And immediately your drone liberal Aunt Peggy, George Floyd, George Floyd, like the robot she is. Then she'll drop him one day and next it's Ukraine. You understand how it works. But it works the exact same way when they create symbols to hate. They take their herd and they find symbols and hold them up in front of the herd and say, this is the source of all your problems. This is why this is bad. This is, and that has been Donald Trump for 10 years. We are at a decade of elite communists in this country telling street communists that Donald Trump is a Nazi, he works for Vladimir Putin, he's going to run again, he's a dictator, he's never going to leave the White House, he's over and over and over again. Now, this rhetoric, I'm sure, just brushes right off of you, but for the legions of mentally ill communist street scum in this country, they hear things like that and they believe it. And did you know poll after poll after poll shows Democrats are unhappy with the Democrat Party? You may be nodding your head and saying, well, yeah, I would hope so. The Democrat Party is insane. But wait, the devil's in the details. They're not mad with the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party is insane. The leading reason Democrats are unhappy with their politicians is they don't fight Trump hard enough. Again, they've made him the Antichrist. As a result, guys like Gavin Newsom, who want to be president, he has to throw them red meat by saying the most absurd, insane, not even close to accurate things. That's what he has to do to become the nominee. The problem is he gives the speeches because that's what the street animals want to hear, but the street animals hear the speeches, believe the speeches, and all it takes is one deranged lunatic to go do something violent. We are going to see more and more violence from the left in this country because the rhetoric will increase, mental instability, demonic possession, all these things are increasing. More rhetoric, more demonic possession, more pharmaceuticals, more violence. Let me again encourage you, check out your child's school for security. Check out your church for security. This was not the last one. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We're going to talk to Aaron McIntyre about everything going on in this society. Before we talk to him, let me talk to you about dream powder from Beam. Sleeping is what I want to talk to you about. A good night's sleep makes your next day, and a bad night's sleep ruins it. Let's be honest. I love coffee as much as the next man. There's no amount of coffee in the world that can overcome a bad night of sleep and have you actually feeling good. You may be a little jittery, but you're not feeling good. Get some sleep using natural things. Dream powder is a cup of hot chocolate with natural things in it. Not that it's going to knock you out for 20 hours and you wake up feeling groggy. You wake up feeling good to go. A cup of hot chocolate. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Minnesota ranks the highest per capita for being a safe haven for transgender individuals in Minnesota. And can I just say, we can talk about economic growth and feeding children and growing the economy and creating jobs simultaneously with talking about everybody's human rights matters and we shouldn't be demonizing them. You can do both.
Joining me now, my friend Aaron McIntyre, host and columnist at The Blaze. Aaron, there aren't very many tranny people, and the issue itself is unbelievably unpopular. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to read poll numbers and know that this is a losing issue for a political party. It's well known, well established, yet they can't let it go. Can you explain why?
Yeah, I think it's time for us to drop the illusion that democracy is somehow responsive to the will of the American people. It, like you said, it's very clear that on every level, this is a massive losing issue for the left. And yet it's central to their coalition. Even after Trump won and they were devastated by this huge sweep that came in, they, you know, they got down, they sat down, they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to change? How are we going to change our messaging? Maybe we've gone too far. Maybe we should put the woke away and go back to economic populism or something. But they can't do it. The activists don't let them do it because this is at core their religion. This is what defines their movement. The left needs to invert hierarchies. It needs to put those that otherwise would be last in society, would be considered the outcast of society. They have to put them first in everything. And so it's absolutely necessary for them to ultimately invert everything that is good and true and beautiful. They cannot allow children to grow up under the auspices of their parents following their religion. No, they need control of these children. They need to brainwash them from the very beginning. Child mutilation, child sacrifice, this is the heart of the left in every sense.
Arun, did we, I mean, I don't want to put blame on us here, but maybe we deserve some. Did we on the right, meaning the whole general term on the right, did we fail in heading this off? It can be hard to accept evil for what it is right when you're first introduced to it, but did we fail and allow ourselves to get here some way?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, we are catching up with technology. This is a constant problem for all societies in the current age, but very much so for conservatives. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand the technological advancement. They don't really grasp the extent of the scientific procedure that's being applied. And they just say, well, doctors, they must know what they're doing. I don't want to hurt a child. I feel bad. Of course you feel bad for a child who's confused and possibly suicidal. And many parents were blackmailed into saying, well, I have to go along with this because if I don't go along with this, I am ultimately facilitating the suicide of my child. Maybe they'll self-harm and it will be my fault. And what we recognize is that once we caught up with the science, once we really understood what was being done, none of this was reversible. None of this was interchangeable. All the things that we were sold that, well, the child can just walk away from this. Everything can kind of just be swapped back into place. None of this is true. It's absolutely devastating for the child. It ruins their life. It makes it impossible often for them to have children, have decent relationships. It often drives them closer to self-harm. But we didn't have that data early on, and people just wanted to trust the science. They just wanted to trust the experts. And what we've seen from COVID and others is actually you can't trust even medical professionals. They are just as dedicated to this religion as your average progressive activist.
Grief. Amy Klobuchar said this at their meeting.
A farmer in New Mexico relied on immigrant workers who are too afraid to do it anymore. And we have a message to Donald Trump. Immigrants don't diminish America. They are America.
Immigrants are America, right, Arn?
I mean, they really just give the game away here, right? Like, we're not replacing you. We're just making it clear that you're not an American and these new people are the Americans. It's not a great replacement. It's more of a great shuffling around, right? But no, obviously, this is the Democrats' plan. They've announced it over and over and over again. They hate the existing population of the United States because those people still yearn for the traditions and heritage and history of our people. They recognize that we are barriers to their power because we believe in things like family and faith. We believe that there are certain rights that have been bestowed on us by God through our tradition and that we need to hold to them. New immigrants, they don't have this problem. You don't have to worry about free speech with a lot of these guys. You don't have to worry about the idea of individualism or the ability to carry a firearm. They don't believe in any of that stuff. And if you bring enough of them in and they get to vote, then guess what? America doesn't believe in it either because you've replaced the Americans that actually care and will stand against it. So yeah, when she says, well, you're just not Americans, it turns out immigrants are Americans. Well, she's just telling you exactly what she believes.
But this is another political loser, right, Arun? I know you remember. I remember all the polls leading up to the election. Donald Trump talked about immigration endlessly because it was pretty much number one or number two on every American's list for things they cared about. Isn't being the open borders party a loser?
Well, not if you get to replace enough of the voters, not if you bring in enough new people to share in your vote. Remember, yes, these people can't vote immediately, in theory, though there are questions about that as well, but all of their children will have birthright citizenship, and they're all kind of banking on the fact that eventually we're going to get an amnesty plan. Let's not forget that the Republicans started to try to pass an amnesty plan the minute ICE got funded to actually do deportations. So it's not some ridiculous idea that you just bring in 20, 30 million people, sit around for a few years until the political pressure builds, pass the amnesty plan, and boom, you win every election going forward. Yeah, you might have lost a few in the interim because it's not popular, but you're setting yourself up for generational success. Now, the interesting thing is I've been listening to left-wing media, and they've been saying this might have been a mistake on our part. They're admitting the strategy. Like, they're full out admitting that, yes, we were looking at the demographics, we were making sure they trended a certain way, we were sure we were just going to automatically win these elections, but it turns out that some of the Hispanic immigrants we bring in, they actually want to be in America. Like, they actually like America as it is, and they started voting for Trump when they were not supposed to. They're supposed to be our loyal voters. Now, I don't think that the GOP should ultimately count on the based minority vote to get out there and change things, but it is funny that this ultimately seemed to backfire on some level of the Democrats. But they can't change the rhetoric. They've been doing it for decades and decades. Where do they go from here?
Well, where do they go from here? Because they want the White House back in 2028. But in order to win the Democrat primary, everyone sees Gavin Newsom, Pritzker, all these other losers out there taking stances that are going to be losers in places like Michigan or Pennsylvania. How does the party come back from what appears to be a death spiral?
That does seem to be a big problem for them, and it's a question that they are most certainly asking themselves. Remember when they spent $20 million to send that giant woman around to figure out how to talk to men and get them to vote for the party again? I mean, these people are absolutely desperate, and the links they're going to are insane, and they can't even take their own advice after spending months talking about how they need their own Joe Rogan, they need the podcast bros, they got to win men back. They basically just came to the conclusion, actually, no, men suck, and they just need to learn to vote first anyway. That was actually like the conclusion they came to. Now, I will say this. I think that there are two issues that can allow them to recover. One is war. If they can get a real anti-war movement going, and they're trying to do it around Israel and Palestine right now, that is fuel for the fire. They feel morally righteous when they're doing that. And to be fair, I don't want the United States involved in this, and so there's a lot of sympathy for some people saying, ultimately, we just don't want to be involved in foreign wars anymore. And if Trump has walked away from that in some way and the Democrats can embrace that, then they're stealing a core issue from Trump. So the Trump administration should not make that easy. The second thing is economics. Ultimately, we are still in a scenario where we are getting inflation, not as much as we used to, but we are still having a serious cost of living issue. And if the Republicans don't solve it, if they don't address it, if they just say, hey, young people, suck it up and figure it out, they're going to face a backlash because they were promised, the people of America were promised, that caring about how much it costs to have eggs or how much it costs to buy a home was something that the Republicans now were making central to who they were. They were going to be raising families, making sure that we had a society where people can have children and live a decent life on hopefully maybe one day one income instead of forcing every mother into the workforce. These are things that Republicans need to carry through on, because if they don't, that leaves two holes I think that the Democrats could bind around. But right now, they're certainly scattered to the winds.
Aaron, as always, thank you, boss. And I want to thank Pure Talk for an amazing, amazing mobile service. I like my cell phone company. Have you ever said those words? Are you proud of your cell phone company? My cell phone company? They're patriots. They hire Americans. I'm so tired of dealing with people who don't speak English on the phone. Some call center in Bangladesh where you have to try to click and pop your way through a phone call. It drives me up the wall. Pure Talk's so patriotic. Their customer service, Americans. Right here at home. Pleasant. CEO is a veteran. They take care of veterans. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile take care of Black Lives Matter. Where do you think your money should go? You can keep your phone. Keep your phone number or get a new one. It's easy to switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV is where you go. We'll be back. There's so much wrong with the Democrat Party, it would take us forever to try to unpack it. How did it happen? How'd they get here? We should probably bring in the great Miranda Devine, host of Pod Force One, to discuss these things. Miranda, you wrote a wonderful column about Minnesota and how They're just nutballs up there in Minnesota. Can you explain why so many of our problems come from there?
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, yesterday is an example of the sort of disorder and disordered thinking, disordered society that wall-to-wall Democrats, especially these far-left radicals like Tampon Tim Walz, like Jacob Frey, remember the mayor during the 2020 riots who just abandoned the third precinct to the mob as a sort of a ritual sacrifice. And then they've got Keith Ellison, the Attorney General. They have the Lieutenant Governor of the state is this woman, Penny Flanagan, who showed up in 2023 at a press conference that Tim Walz was announcing that he was turning Minnesota into a transgender, state, like a special place, a sanctuary state for transgender rights, and to allow what they call gender-affirming care for minors. And that's basically chemical and surgical castration of children, removing young girls' breasts, pumping them full of puberty blockers and other terrible cross-sex hormones. This is all a kind of a rite of passage for Democrats, for these radical Democrats. It's an article of faith. It is a religion for them. And they're all at it there. And so, you know, it's part of the brainwashing that has happened to families and their children during puberty, especially when every child is a little confused. And also, you have to understand there's a high preponderance of autistic children who think themselves transgender, and it's the ultimate cruelty to them to trick them like this. And so we have this sort of terrible combination of the lawlessness and the sort of defunding police attitudes that stemmed from Minneapolis after the George Floyd riots 5 years ago, where all these same Democrats were in charge. Tim Walz, remember, let the National Guard, didn't call them out for about a day, day too late. His wife, Gwen Walz, very weird woman, she said that she opened the windows of the governor's mansion so she could stick her head out and smell the fumes of the burning tires as the city was burning down around them and the governor was doing nothing about it, because she felt that was the only way she could really fully appreciate the moment. They're very sick people, so it's no wonder. I mean, they foster and pander to this sort of mental illness that is a fad, this transgender fad, and encourage parents to think that this is going to be the solution to their children's problems. The mother of this killer, this demonic nut job, she took him when he was a minor to the court in Minnesota, to Minnesota District Court, to have his name changed illegally. And the reason given on the form was on the court order was that he was a boy who wanted to be known as a woman, as a girl, wanted to change sex, change gender to a girl. So he wanted this new name to acknowledge that. And his mother went along with it. So it's all a disordered kind of society that Democrats have ushered into Minnesota. And I think it's a warning for the rest of the country that this is what they want for all of us. They're not impressive people, but they thrive. They see political capital in disorder on the streets, whether it's crime on the streets and the citizens frightened and undermining the police as they have. I mean, Liz Collin, who you might remember was a journalist, one of the few, or actually probably the only one, actually spoke out in 2020. She says that the numbers of police in Minneapolis have gone down from 900 odd on the street before George Floyd to about 350 now. It's impossible for those police to keep up with all the shootings that are going on. There were four shootings in 24 hours before this tragedy hit the Annunciation Catholic School.
God have mercy. Miranda, you mentioned that it's an article of faith, and you're so right about that. What I can't figure out is, I mean, as horrible as these people may be, they still can read poll numbers. Normal people think they're a bunch of weird, vicious freaks. And they seem to be doubling down on that everywhere, not backing off, doubling down every place they can. Can you explain that?
I mean, I can't really, other than I think that this is a party that's very dangerous. You know, it's a wounded animal and it's spiraling out of control. It's in a death spiral. And so it's at its most dangerous now. And the hard left radicals, the Marxists, have taken over. The cowards who were the establishment Democrats either caved in, people like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, who should have really saved the party from these people. They just bent over. And then the sensible ones left and they became independents or Republicans. We had this very mournful story in the New York Times last week saying that, you know, for the first time in history, Republicans are outnumbering or outregistering as voters Democrats in among young people. And so and all over, I mean, across the board, they're outregistering them. So there's no interest in belonging to the Democratic Party. It's bizarre and weird and fringe and also goes against every tenet of common sense that we all have. Like, for instance, that more cops on the street will make you safer. And we had the Chicago mayor, Brandon Johnson, quizzed about that by Morning Joe, none other than lefty Morning Joe, or anti-Trumper Morning Joe, on NBC the other day. And he could not. I think he was asked four times, you know, would 5,000 more cops solve Chicago's terrible homicide and crime problem? And he refused to answer. He knows that's the truth. But unfortunately, the crazies that have taken hold of the party are just philosophically anti-police. So instead of taxpayer money going to proper police, it's going to social workers and so-called violence interrupters, which is just another grift for the Democrats and their hangers-on. And it does nothing to stop violent criminals or drug-crazed people or all the problems, mentally ill people, all the problems that are turning our cities into just dystopian nightmares and that contribute to what happened yesterday when this deranged, demonic individual opened fire on innocent children praying in mass.
You sat down, changing the subject a little bit, with Senator Chuck Grassley. Here's a little bit of it.
All that stuff, it makes Watergate. See, Watergate was kind of a cover-up from the outside. You and I have been talking during this podcast about a cover-up within government.
Mm.
There's a big difference. So I'm chairman of this Judiciary Committee doing my oversight work. I want to make sure that the public knows how Trump was mistreated. And I don't care whether anybody ever goes to jail over it or not. I hope if they're prosecuted and they're guilty, they go to jail. But right now, I just want to make sure that the world knows how Trump's been treated since the very minute he came down that elevator.
Miranda, did you get the sense from Senator Grassley that it's really, really, really bad, the corruption that's been going on inside the government?
Absolutely. And look, he's a wonderful man, you know, in his 90s from Iowa, a corn farmer, and he's dedicated his life to oversight and to protections for whistleblowers. And really, that, you know, he's the definition of public service. And I mean, he has such a great grasp on history, having lived through so much of it. And, you know, there when he talks about Watergate being a drop in the ocean compared to Russiagate, he's spot on. And I think we owe him a debt of gratitude for his investigations over the years, for his dogged determination, for his sort of independence. He doesn't care, really, what his fellow senators think of him. And they've done all sorts of things. When he was doing the Hunter Biden investigation, remember, he got ambushed with a bogus FBI defensive briefing. It wasn't real. It was set up by the Democrats. And in fact, he and Senator Johnson just said, you know, if we read about this in the Washington Post tomorrow, we'll know that you are acting improperly. And sure enough, the story was leaked to the Washington Post to discredit their Hunter Biden investigation. And the sad thing is, they continued on, but there were Republicans on their committees who were swayed by these lies because they saw them in the Washington Post and they believed everything they saw in the Post or the New York Times. So so they just refused to comply with certain requests that these chairmen were making of their fellow Republicans in these committees. And of course, the Democrats refused to go along. So there were subpoenas that were never made. And you know, the investigation was somewhat stymied, which was, of course, the aim of Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and the rest of them who were trying to put a spoke in the wheels of Johnson and Grassley. In the end, their report was incredible and incredibly prescient, and they got a lot of those SARS reports, those suspicious activity reports from the banks. They managed to get them and put them out in the public. And that was the beginning of us understanding. This was before the laptop. We're talking about back in 2019, before we got the laptop, that they already had laid out the groundwork for us and the guideposts so that we understood what we were looking at when we were investigating the basically corrupt activities of Joe Biden and his family, the influence peddling around the world. And Chuck Grassley did a lot of that at the beginning.
Pod Force One is her podcast. Miranda, thank you. I appreciate it. How corrupt is our government as it pertains to China? How bought is our government? How dirty are the Clintons? Peter Schweitzer is going to join us in a moment and discuss such things. I'm going to discuss something with you first. I'm going to discuss America's crisis. We have a few of them, but testosterone is, it might be the biggest one. And if you went and asked 10 people on the street, no, none of them would say testosterone. But we have lost, you want to hear an eye-popping number? 50% of our testosterone in 50 years. Half gone. Because of all the estrogens and the water and stuff like that now. It doesn't matter what happens with the debt, the border, taxes, elections. If we lose all our testosterone, America goes away. Period. Goodbye. Chalk is out here to change that naturally. You want to feel years younger, your mind working better, better mood. Get some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. I take a male vitality stack every single day. I have for years, and I will until the day I die. You want to save some money? Chalk.com/JesseTV. You'll save you some money. You're about 60 to 90 days away from feeling better than you have in years. We'll be back.
Last month, the Department of Defense was made aware of an Obama-Biden-era legacy program called Digital Escorts. For nearly a decade, Microsoft has used Chinese coders, remotely supervised by U.S. contractors, to support sensitive DoD cloud systems. The program was designed to comply with contracting rules, but it exposed the department to unacceptable risk. I mean, if you're thinking America first and common sense, this doesn't pass either of those tests. So I initiated an immediate review of this vulnerability, and I want to report our initial findings. So the use of Chinese nationals to service Department of Defense cloud environments, it's over.
I'm glad it's over. How in the world did that ever begin? Joining me now, Peter Schweitzer, author of the book Blood Money, president of the Government Accountability Institute. Peter, in what universe did our number one geopolitical ally gain access to our DoD cloud?
Great question, Jesse. Always good to be on with you. Look, I think what happened here was that we hired contractors. It was probably some of the big tech companies, you know, Microsoft, Google, et cetera. And they do a lot of contract work in China. And they're all very cozy with China. They rely on Beijing to give them access to the Chinese market. And they're willing to look the other way when it comes to certain security issues. So it's not surprising to me that the contractors that would do this What to me is stunning is the fact that the DOD officials, the Obama and Biden era officials, actually authorized this and supervised it and had no problem with it. That's the part that's really shocking to me.
Peter, I don't know what we're dealing with is incompetence or malice, but maybe you have some more insight in that, because you're right. That's what blew me away. It wasn't that this was happening. It's that these administrations knew it was happening and just kind of shoulder shrugged the whole thing. And everyone knows about Joe Biden's family's connections to China and whatnot. What are we dealing with here? Malice?
I think we're probably dealing with both. I think we're dealing with some incompetence. Look, there are people we all know in the government who really aren't up to snuff. They couldn't work in the private sector. But I also do think there are individuals who are sympathetic to China. Doesn't necessarily mean they're communists, but they feel like, hey, China's a partner. They use that kind of language. We can work with them. We can do things. They're not a threat. They are not an adversary. They are essentially a friendly company that's kind of competitive. So they don't view it as a security threat. I think if recent history demonstrates anything, Jesse, it's that we need to view everything that China does in the context of espionage and in terms of a national security threat to the United States, because that's how they operate, and that's the mindset that the CCP has towards the United States.
Think about them in the terms of espionage, which makes this little video clip that's been making rounds pretty revealing.
Look, we're getting along very well with China. And I'm getting along very well with President Xi. I think it's very insulting to say students can't come here, because they'll go out and they'll start building schools and they'll be able to survive it. But I like that their students come here. I like that other countries' students come here. And you know what would happen if they didn't? Our college system would go to hell very quickly. You'd have, and it wouldn't be the top colleges. It would be colleges that struggle on the bottom. And you take out 300,000 or 600,000 students out of the system. I like having, and I told this to President Xi, that we're honored to have their students here. Now, with that, we check and we're careful and we see who's there, and Marco wants that. We spoke, we're in the same position. But we have a tremendous college system, the best in the world, nobody even close. That's why China sends them here.
600,000 Chinese spies, and we're okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, the number right now is roughly 300,000, so 600,000 would mean doubling it. No, I think this is a huge mistake. I don't know if this is some kind of negotiation on the part of Trump. I mean, sometimes he kind of throws things out there as part of a negotiating ploy. But if this is the goal, I think it's a terrible, terrible idea. Because here's what we know. We know that the Chinese students that come here, they're not studying sociology and comparative literature. They're here to study the hard sciences. They only are allowed to come here if they and their families are screened as being loyal to the CCP. If there's anything questionable in your background or your family's background, they are not going to allow you to come to study in the United States. We also know that they control these students. They're all required to use a Chinese app to check in that is monitored by the Ministry of State Security, and that the state has leverage over their family members back in China. So even if these students wouldn't want to do something to help the CCP, they have to, because there is leverage that they have. And the final thing to look at, Jesse, is just all the other things beyond espionage that's going on. We know that Chinese students have been used to organize protests on college campuses to advance the CCP. We know that a lot of the money laundering and the fentanyl trade that takes place is being carried out by Chinese students in the United States on visas. They're taking suitcases full of cash and taking the Chinese state-owned banks in the United States to launder that money. So this is a national security threat. This is not like some kid spending junior year abroad in Italy studying Renaissance art. This is something very, very different, and it is an absolute national security threat.
Peter, real quickly, I've only got about a minute left here. How corrupt are the Clintons, and are they ever going to go down?
I think the Clintons are enormously corrupt. They were the ones that first perfected what I call globalized corruption, which is they're not just, you know, involved in corrupt acts in the United States. They set up a system whereby foreign governments and oligarchs would pay them tens of millions of dollars. So they're hugely corrupt. Whether they go down or not, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. The statute of limitations has run on some of these crimes, but I do know that if there is a conspiracy charge, as long as that conspiracy is carried through in a criminal behavior, that statute of limitations can be extended. So maybe the prosecutors at DOJ can look at that, because I do think the Clintons engaged in a lot of criminal conduct in the way that they made money personally and for their foundation when Hillary was Secretary of State.
Freaking dirty Clintons. Peter, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you, as always. It's wild how much of our government corruption, it's not that government was ever clean, but it's wild how much of our government corruption that we know today ties back to the Clintons. Remember, the Clintons were famously dirty in Arkansas. This is well known by people who lived in Arkansas. That's the system they came up in. Everyone knew the Clintons were dirty. And they just took that crime network they had, put it in the government. Then communists like Obama, Biden have continued to use it to this day. Just a filthy, filthy stain on this country, the freaking Clintons. Anyway, lighten the mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And maybe my favorite thing in the world is evil communists in the government getting fired. Now, Susan Monterez, she was the CDC chief that Trump just hired. It was a month ago. And there were rumors flying that she was a big pharma stooge. She's gone. Canned. Immediately. That's a good thing. Celebrate. Wish she hadn't been hired to begin with, but whatever. She's gone now. Also, that weird monkeypox dude, the gay dude with the devil pentagram and stuff like that tattooed on himself, he quit too. So, we're winning. We'll take it. See you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.